Hello out there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna show. This is Rihanna's husband, Danny Pena.
And I am Danny's wife, Rihanna Manuel Pena. And today, we're going to talk about our experiences growing up with video games.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm very old school, by the way. Very old school. So Can't wait for the old school gaming conversation. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So before we get into this topic, I think it might help to establish our ages, right?
Yes.
And I know this is the first time we're talking about it in this series explicitly, mm-hmm. but I was born in 1987, so I am a millennial card carrying. And you?
I was born July of 1977. Mm-hmm. So was right before, it was like during the Pong era and Atari was coming up and everything, yeah, around that era.
So you're Gen X, just trying to establish our generational labels.
Yep.
Yeah, so folks can understand that our gaming experiences will be very different.
Very, very different. So what year was the first time you got an actual console at home?
I think it was early 90s. It was 1990 or 91, I want to say.
So it was around the Nintendo or Sega Master System.
So my first console was the Nintendo Entertainment System, the action set. So I got it, and it came with Duck Hunt and the light guns.
Oh, so it also came with Mario Brothers.
It came with Mario Brothers.
I had that that bundle, yeah.
And so, if in the YouTube video, if we can get a quick edit, we can add the little picture of little 3 or 4 year old me at Christmas with my Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, send me the pic. I'll put it up for sure. So for me, it was actually 1984. It was a year before the original Nintendo came over here, came out in the States. During that time, I remember I was watching, you know, TV cartoons, and they had commercials. Atari had a commercial for the Atari 2600, and they were selling it for $50.
Mm.
So my cousins got consoles from their parents. And what I heard, and this was recently, I heard that my grandmother felt bad that I didn't have a console. So she went and bought an Atari 2600 for me. And that's how I got. Mm-hmm. Originally, I thought she bought it for everybody. That's what I thought. But so I got, I remember playing Battle Tank, Defenders. There was like a bootleg version of Pac-Man. Doesn't look exactly like the, doesn't look nothing like the arcade version. So I remember I got that, became a huge gamer. And then I'm walking around the city with my mom and my dad. And, you know, in New York, it's a lot of electronic stores.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one store right in front of the window that had the brand new Nintendo system, and it came with a robot.
I remember that.
That robot, I can't remember the name of it, it was so long, but the robot will...
Rob,
actually, mm-hmm. So Rob could play with you playing Super Mario Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the price, and the price was very, like, it was really high. And I mentioned to my mom, and my dad, can I get this? This will be an awesome gift for me.
I'm sure little Danny made a very compelling
argument. Yes, compelling, me crying and the sad face, and it didn't work because they said no. So I got the Nintendo system years later. It took a couple years for me to get it. And it was that bundle, the one that you talked about.
Yeah.
That's the one that I got. It came with Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. So it came with the gun and a controller.
Two guns. I had two guns.
Mine came with one gun.
Am I making that up? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Mine came with one gun. I don't remember seeing two.
Okay.
It came with the controllers and a gun.
Yeah. So I got that action set for Christmas from my mom. My gaming introduction was mother to daughter. So she bought that for me because I had shown interest. And giving some context, I have an older brother and older sister, but they're much older. They're 11 and 13 years older than me, and they have a different mother. So I grew up more like an only child than a little sister. And I had a lot of energy. I was in dance class. I was doing all kinds of things, you know, And while, you know, I danced my whole life, I've done, you know, all kinds of sports here and there, like gaming and dance are the two things that always stuck with me. And I think it's because it's the two things that my mom introduced me to and seriously said, like, hey, I think this is for you. And so when she got me the Nintendo, it was an investment because I have lots of male cousins who have influenced me. And I'm not saying I was a tomboy, you know, I was, you know, taking ballet or whatever and tap and jazz. But I was also really interested in video games because I saw my cousins playing them. And, you know, they were a little bit older and I wanted to be like the cool older cousins, right? And so I followed in their footsteps a little bit. So shout out to the fam for being an original inspiration for me, because obviously it's led me to some great things. But yeah, I wanted to play, and I specifically wanted to play a game that had the arcade feel, right? That felt like Time Crisis in the arcade, you know, the classic shooter where you step on the pedals and duck out of the way. Mm-hmm. So Duck Hunt was the closest facsimile that, you know, we could get at home. And my mom has always been very technology forward. She was an engineer around that time. You know, she moved into management as a, you know, an older person in her career, but you know, she was very much into computers. We had a computer at home before anybody else in our neighborhood. Like, she was always on the cutting edge of technology. So we got the Nintendo, I think, a couple years after it came out, but it was very still very much uncommon for people to have one at home. And so I felt like I was like the cool kid on the block that has the yes. Nintendo with the gun. And maybe we bought an extra gun because of that, because people would come over, cousins, friends, and play Duck Hunt with me. Mm-hmm. And Duck Hunt was more my game than Mario. I know it's very unusual, but I think it's because I'm a shooter girl. Like, even now, if I have 10 minutes to play a game, I'm playing a first-person shooter. And it started all the way back then in 1990, whatever, with Duck Hunt.
Damn, Duck Hunt was a good one.
Yeah, Duck Hunt was good. That stupid dog. Always laughing at me when I would miss.
Yeah, but, you know, I remember, this is like now a couple of years later, I was living in Dominican Republic and I had my Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I was playing a lot of Mario. Man, all my friends completed Mario Brothers and I couldn't.
Wow.
I was stuck in the last level because the last castle is a maze. Mm. I couldn't figure it out.
And like, you didn't have like guides back then, right?
I mean, there were guides, but I didn't have guides over there like at all for that. So yeah. That was really frustrating for me, man. I remember when I first finished that game, my God, I was jumping, running around the house, screaming like, I did it. Yes, I did it. So that was cool. I remember also playing Punch-Out, the original Punch-Out with Mike Tyson.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and I remember that time I was in New York and people were passing out codes like, oh, you want to play Mike Tyson? Yo, this is the code. I was like, oh, man, this is dope. That was cool. I'm trying to remember like little things also. I remember this was like a time that was really, really popular. The Nintendo Power Magazine, I think it was. What, Nintendo Magazine? Nintendo Power Magazine, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. Or is it Nintendo Magazine? I don't remember. It's been so long. But
I remember
even when you buy the game, there was like a number that you could call.
Yeah.
For tips and tricks.
The tip line.
Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions, you need help. Like playing a game like Zelda, Mario, give you all the tips.
Talk about technology that's phased out.
Oh,
right?
My God. So I remember reading, it says the first 3 minutes is free. And then after that, you have to pay every minute.
Oh,
so I will call.
I know what's about to happen.
I will call just to get a tip.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And also, every time there was like a new game coming out, that was the music that will play on the phone when you're on hold or whatever. Yeah. So like, I remember the last time I called, it was when Super Metroid came out. Super Metroid came out and I actually called out sick because I was working. I was working at a supermarket and I'm like, oh, I don't feel good and this and this and that, because I had the game. It just came out. Mm-hmm. This is during the 16-bit era. So
I love it.
I called, I remember. And when I called, they were playing the Super Metroid music, the soundtrack. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, oh man. So Little things like that was really fun. You can't do that anymore nowadays. Now you could just find online or anything.
I'm going to ask you a quick question and interrupt you.
Yeah.
How much of your parents' money did you spend on that?
No, honestly, I was really good. I go out 3 minutes.
Really?
Never.
I know so many people who got burned those tip line fees.
Yeah. That was wild.
Ooh.
That was wild.
That was those were the days, huh?
And I'm trying to remember other things too that happened back then. Like, I remember, you know, playing Contra, the original Contra, the Konami code, up, up, down, down, left, right. You know,
see, like, I didn't learn that until I was much older. Because again, I was little, and when all of these things came out.
Do you know the history about that? Right.
The history.
The history about the Konami code.
I may not.
So
I know what it is, but what's the history?
So originally, when the developers were working on, I think it was Contra. They had that code, so they could do testing, like, hey, test the game and all that stuff.
Okay.
They forgot to remove that code from the game. And I don't know, somebody discovered it, or it was maybe somebody from Konami that leaked it, or I don't know.
My uncle works at Konami.
Yeah, and it just went around. And this is interesting because, and that's something I want to bring this up to during our conversation. Like,
yeah,
there was a lot of things that we managed to figure it out because, like, nowadays, social media, it spreads. Back then, there was none of that, and we were spreading the word with our friends. And, like, there was people in Dominican Republic that knew codes and all this stuff because they found, like, their cousin told them, you know, like, like the thing that everybody was doing back in the 80s and 90s, grabbing the cartridge and go and blowing it, right?
Blow, tap it a couple times.
How they
times.
Found out about that.
Everybody did that.
It was word of mouth. People would just spur the
word. Because it would work. Yeah, it would fix it.
Yeah, so it was that.
It's the equivalent of, did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
Yeah, yeah. But that was something that it blows my mind. Like, even living in the Dominican Republic, seeing people playing games that you need to read in English and they figure it out, not knowing English, and they completed these games.
Well, like, I mean, people do that even to this day, like importing games and it's all in Japanese and you just figure it out.
And they figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, you know that your PSO days.
I did that. Yeah. I was just playing, not knowing what was on the screen, you know? But
so, if we're going into, like, I mean, we don't have to go through every single console we've ever had, but. I collect consoles, so I actually have every home console I've ever played on in the next room, which I'm very proud of, like down to that NES. And I do say NES, I don't say NES. I know some people say NES or SNES, like it's NES, SNES. Yeah. But I have that NES I have that NES, and I have the guns, and I have my Dreamcast, which has now been signed by Peter Moore.
We got to tell that story later on.
We'll put a pin in that one.
That's later.
I have my Dreamcast guns.
Yes.
I have my guns for playing House of the Dead.
Now, the guns on Dreamcast was fantastic.
So okay, really quick, I won't go into it because it's not that interesting, honestly, but it's it's the first shooter I've ever finished. Like, I actually completed House of the Dead. And if you've ever played House of the Dead, you know, I played in arcade rules, which means as soon as me and whoever I'm playing with, usually one of my cousins, died, as soon as we both died, we start up from the beginning.
Yeah, that's the hardest difficulty.
There were no continues, okay?
Yeah,
the number of times I've heard that stupid little Batman say, suffer like G did, like, there's lines of audio stuck in my head, burned into my brain from that game. Like, thank you for saving me. Like, if you've ever played House of the Dead and you remember those voice lines, please leave a comment, because I feel like there's so many times when I say, like, suffer like cheated, and nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about, and I'm completely alone. But it's because I played that game so many damn times, and I actually did beat it. And
I'm very proud
of myself.
You know, there was a keyboard game of House of the Dead. It was Type of the Dead, I think it was called.
Oh, Type of the Dead, yeah. This was House of the Dead 2, I believe, is the one that I played on the Dreamcast.
But it was similar to that. It was just typing. You have to... Because Dreamcast also has a keyboard separately. You got to buy it. But now I was going to ask you a question about guns and games. So
guns and games.
Super Nintendo had a bazooka. Have you ever tried that one?
I didn't have a Super Nintendo.
I had that one.
I can quickly name off what I've had.
Okay.
At home consoles, still have in the next room, my NES. Mm-hmm. I have my Dreamcast. I have my GameCube, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I have my Sega Genesis. I have my Xbox One, my Xbox One X, and then in the house, currently we have we have a Switch Lite, we have a original Switch, we have an OLED Switch, we have two Xbox Series S's, we have an Xbox Series X, and a PS5.
Right. And we have, like, other devices.
And then we have some of the little, not little, I'm sorry, that's condescending. But we have some of the more niche machines, like a Steam. We have two Steam Decks, mid-level model and the high-level model from the original release. You have the Rishi, you have Is that right? The word is Rishi?
I don't remember. Maybe I have so much.
You have sorry. The what's the white one? The white handheld. The
shoot. My God, was that Logitech?
We have some of the other handhelds.
Yeah, because it's like cloud purposes.
Cloud stuff, yeah. But growing up, I also had almost all of the handhelds. So I had I had a few handhelds. So I had the Sega Game Gear.
Ooh, I hated that console.
Sega Game Gear. That's where I played most of my Sonic.
Loved it and hated it. Battery life
was trash.
15 minutes.
Yeah. Sega Game Gear, I'd play that at all of the family gatherings. I'd be the weird kid in the corner playing or Sega. Obviously, I had the original Game Boy. I didn't have any Game Boy Colors. I didn't have any DSs. Like, I wasn't into that stuff.
Game Boy Advance. Yeah. I also had the SNK handheld. I had that. Nice. But I only had one game. It was like the fighting game. That's it. That was the only thing. I also had... actually, I remember getting the Game Boy Advance. Yeah. I was living in New York, and I went to a... video game store in New York that they sell you import stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always buy import games because back in the days, games would come out first in Japan and then here in the States.
Of course.
But I bought the Game Boy Advance because it was the same device as the...
Yeah, didn't have to do anything.
I didn't want to wait.
It wasn't region locked or anything.
So I didn't want to wait. So I bought that. And my first game that I bought for that system was the Mario Kart for the Game Boy Advance.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, it was the year.
But that's my console history. So yeah. I was not a PlayStation person until very recently.
You know what? I also have to mention, like, back in the days, this is like, oh my God, early 80s, they had like these small arcades that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
So they had like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I've seen these.
I had a Popeye one that was similar to like Donkey Kong. Yeah, yeah, it was exactly like Donkey Kong, but it was more
just kind of
Popeye.
Ripped the mechanics and put new skins on it.
Basically, it was like a bootleg version.
You know, classic.
But yeah, but it was formed as like an arcade. So I had like a little arcade stick.
That's cute.
So I was like, oh man, this is my arcade. And I'm playing it at home. That was like the coolest thing. Really, really cool thing. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. So another thing that I remember. Oh, so I mentioned about the bazooka. So the bazooka came out for the Super NES. Can't remember the name. It didn't have that many. It didn't have that many games. It was a long bazooka, and there was one game where
how many games does it seem like it works?
I can't remember the name, but please, somebody, whoever's listening or watching, please look it up and let us know in the comments because I just can't remember. But there was one where it was kind of like you shooting robots. It was like
always
kind of like mechs. But you're shooting with the bazooka and everything. And that was really, really cool. That was like the only game that was played on that using that device and everything. So, so I also want to mention that to me, and I want to ask the same question to you. What was like your first exclusive game that made you love your console?
Oh, okay. Exclusive game. So yeah. I didn't pay attention to this for a very long time because I was just, you know, a consumer and I played what I played, whatever was at the store, I got it. So I didn't have any awareness of what was exclusive and what wasn't because, like I said, I wasn't a PlayStation owner for a very long time. So I would say it was probably, I forgot to mention my 360s, a 360 and 360 Elite. I think it would be Halo 2.
Halo 2.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think it would be Halo 2. And so Halo 2, I was playing in college. I took my Xbox to school. I took my 360 to school, obviously.
Oh, the LAN party? So
I dominated LAN parties. And, of course, you know, my little college boyfriend was like, oh, do you play video games? I'm like, do I play video games?
I got skills, bro.
Sir, plug that shit in. Give me your best Ethernet. But, yeah, I did pretty good at Smash as well. I was always Yoshi.
Smash.
But we would do LAN parties. We played Halo, but specifically Halo 2 and King of the Hill. And I would do my dual-wield SMGs and completely crush.
That's dope.
And the feeling of victory over these dudes who thought like, oh, you're a girl gamer or whatever. Like my first experience of being judged as a girl gamer. Cause of course my cousins were like, oh, that's just our little cousin. She plays games too. There's no big deal. But then I went to school and people are like, oh, you think you can play video games? I was like, yeah, I do. That felt really validating. That was great. Cause I was good. Very, very good.
Yeah.
So that I would say it was Halo.
Halo. So,
and I have a special place in my heart for Xbox for that reason.
So look, I love Mario, love all those games, you know, but let me tell you what completely changed me. I went to my friend's house because he was telling me, hey, I have the Sega Genesis. You want to check it out? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go. Like, I went. He's like, sit down. He had this big wooden TV.
I remember them.
Those like,
this you like, got in channel 3 or 4. It was either 3 or 4.
3 or 4. I was always team 3.
It was always team 4 for channel me. 3 for me. It was this TV in the basement.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, man. Okay. So he put it loud. He turned it on. Sega. I was like, wow, it talks? Damn. It's okay. Like, yo. So I'm like, all right. He put Streets of Rage Part 1.
That music?
Yo. I fell in love with that game. My mind was blown.
Some bangers
like,
in there.
I've never heard these type of music. Like, this is like hip hop and techno. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like...
It was a vibe.
A different vibe. Yes. I was like, oh, my God. That, to me, was my first, like, wow.
It was a wow.
This is,
I hear
and
you.
Then he goes, oh, I got to show you something else.
Yeah.
I go, what is he going to show me? He takes out Streets of Rage and put in... I see like this blue character.
Well, first he taps it and blows it. And
then no, no, no. It wasn't like that. It wasn't known for like Sega Genesis. That was more
it
known
was
for,
more
for NES. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is that? Like, I didn't know what it was. Yo. Again, Sega. I was like, oh, man. And the first thing that popped up was Sonic the Hedgehog. I was going like this. I'm like, yo, that looks beautiful. The water.
And the music.
He's like, oh, check it out. And he gave me the controller. And you see Sonic, like, getting ready to run. I'm like, oh, my God. My mind was out of, like, then I'm seeing the water in the background. I'm like, oh, my God. And then.
You're like, next-gen graphics.
Put the controller down. Put the controller down. I'm like, all right.
You watch the idol.
And I'm there waiting. I'm like, what's going on? And you see Sonic going, looking at you. Really? Like, when are you going to start?
He's such a cool guy.
Yo, my mind was blown. I've never seen that.
In the music.
Yo, it was perfect. It was like, oh my God, this kills the Super Nintendo. Like me, I was thinking like, yo, this is, oh my
Sega
God.
Sega does
this
what Nintendo don't. Remember that campaign? Sega does what Nintendo.
Nintendo don't.
They were so edgy.
But that was like the first time I'm like, wow, this, I gotta have both.
Yeah.
I have the Super Nintendo. I gotta get the Sega Genesis.
Absolutely.
And I remember when I got my first job, the first thing I did with my first check, I went and I bought a Sega CD. For my Sega Genesis.
Never had a CD.
Because there was an RPG game that came out during that time. It's called Lunar. Oof, beautiful game.
Mm.
And also voice acting. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I miss those days, man. Like,
it's
now,
so fun.
It's not because we review games or stuff like that, but now.
We were grown-ups.
Yeah, we're grown-ups. Like, oh, this is cool. Like, it's amazing. It looks, but man, as a kid, experienced that for the first time. It was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. Even my cousin had the Sega Channel. Which I didn't know anybody that had it.
I don't know what that is.
So Sega Channel is, think of it as like Game Pass, but back then for only for Sega Genesis.
Oh, okay.
So you connect your cable to your cable to the Sega Genesis, to like a cartridge, and you turn on your Sega Genesis, and you have the cartridge connected to the cable, and you wait a little bit,
it's
and it
like
downloads.
It's kind of like how we used to put CDs on the radio in the car when you do it through a cassette tape.
So... It takes a little while. It connects, and there was a bunch of Sega Genesis games. They're available, ready
That's
to play. All you have to do is just be part of the subscription. Yeah. That thing was so ahead of its time.
Yeah,
that it never blew up. But I remember I would play all.
I mean,
these
that's
games.
The Game Pass, basically.
It was Game Pass,
which
but
is
back then.
The best deal in gaming.
Yeah. So, but I'm sorry if I talk a long time.
No, this is fun. Like, again, another reason why we're doing the show. Like, we have these conversations, and we're like. Wouldn't it be fun to do this and share it with other people? Because we're just in the house by ourselves.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else from back then. That
so
like,
I got a couple highlights.
Highlights,
some
please.
Games I want to shout out. Games that have stuck with me and like formed my gaming aesthetic over the years. Tetris. We don't need to speak too much about Tetris. I'm sure we'll do an episode on Tetris at some point.
Life changing, but we'll talk about it.
Life changing for so many reasons. Space Channel 5. And these are in no particular order. Space Channel 5, Ulala, and go like, choo, choo,
you know what?
Choo. I would try to do the dance moves.
I tried. I love
rhythm
very
hyped.
I bought the game. I was so hyped for it.
Yeah.
Played it. Wasn't for me.
Fair.
Wasn't
it feels
for
like
me.
An arcade game.
Yeah, but I was like, I got every almost every Sega Dreamcast game. And that was the one I'm like,
sure.
I don't know. I'm talking about like exclusives.
Okay. Yeah. Well, another one that was a highlight for me, Jade Empire, BioWare.
Ooh, beautiful game.
I still want a remake of that game. Obviously, there may be some cultural appropriation things they need to work through a little bit more with a 2024 lens. But my God, I love that game.
Amazing.
So good. Kingdoms of Amalur.
Great game.
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Great game.
Crazy Taxi. Dude,
amazing.
I played it on a Dreamcast, and every time I would start a new game, I'd be like, yeah.
I have a question about
Crazy Taxi. It made me fall in love with Offspring.
I want to know like your style.
Yes.
Were you start right away
with I'd always people? Go straight down the hill and then turn about left.
When you pick up passengers, yeah. You go with the short one right away or the long
ones? I would try to go as far as possible.
Far as possible because you get more money and more time. I would go
straight down the hill.
Yeah.
And I think it's the guy who's at the burger joint. He's like super dark skinned with the hat. Is that right? And then I would turn left and he would go like all the way to like where the train stop is and shit.
So
I had a certain path that I would try to follow every time. And I try to perfect that path.
So back,
and like going through the little like plaza area, like you're doing like the jump going up the ramps in the little park.
So back in the days,
yeah,
on that version of the game for the Sega Dreamcast, they had real billboards.
Oh,
that companies actually paid to have their. So I don't know if it was like Pizza Hut, smart. KFC, or like it was like I think that was like the first time I got to see ads in the
real
game.
Life stuff.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was the first time I heard music that I heard in a movie in a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you remember what was your first DLC that you paid? I still remember mine.
Paid?
Yeah, you paid for a DLC.
Got no clue.
Yo, you were never good. You were never.
Wait, I was done giving my highlights, but yes, please.
I remember the first time I paid for DLC.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you two versions. One, my first free DLC, and the second one is my first paid one. So the free one was for Sonic Adventure for the Sega Dreamcast.
Mm.
They did a deal with Adidas. It was like an Adidas competition.
Whoever Sonic looks like he's wearing Adidas. Yeah.
So whoever finished the first level in the fastest time,
yeah,
and you break the record of leaderboards, then you win like this huge prize or something. I can't remember. So that was one. Now, that was a free version. The paid version was MechAssault. MechAssault for the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, you got to pay for this, but it had not only new levels, they had like new modes, all kinds of stuff that was only available through there. I'm like, wow, this is different. I've never done this before, but let me just pay. And I paid, I think it was like 15, 12 bucks or something like that. I can't remember. Sure. Back, because at that time, I believe it was Microsoft points. I can't remember. This is like the old Microsoft days, man. Yeah. But that was really cool. Mm. That was really, really cool. Any questions for me? Because I know.
Well, I wasn't done going through my favorites.
Sorry. Once again. I thought you were done. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
My bad. I get excited about
these. You get excited about DLC, apparently. other favorites that stand out, and this is like now going more modern times, is like Borderlands 2 is probably my favorite game of all time. For many reasons, we can talk about that on another episode. Obviously, all the Halos are pretty stand out. I mean, like, just think, like, remembering that final, like, warthog scene where you're racing to get out of the ship or whatever, and like, the music's playing.
The ship or the planet? I think it was
the planet.
Yeah, I remember that.
That final scene in Reach when you're just fighting and you're like, wait, what am I supposed to do? And you're like, yeah. Oh no.
That game was amazing.
Reach
was amazing.
Chills on that scene. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's so many scenes and moments and games and stuff like Cube. Like QBE is another series. Like there's just so many different games that come to mind as like favorites over the years, and I can't possibly name any more that I've played as an adult because there's too many. But there's just certain ones that stuck with me. Question I have for you, and I would love to answer it for myself first, is like, what is one of those biggest stinkers you can remember playing? And for me, it's a tie between Echo the Dolphin and Wet Tricks, because both of those games, I put them in, and I had no fucking clue what I was doing.
Really?
And I was probably because I was young and I didn't know where to go to get help, but I was like, I'm just a dolphin and that's it. Or is this droplets of stuff? I don't know what to do. Oh, another one I forgot is a favorite, Trick Style.
Oh, Trick Style's
a good one.
That's a good one.
But yeah, what are some of the ones that you remember being super disappointed in?
Ooh, I have two. Oh, okay, right. Actually, I have three.
Okay.
One, it took me forever to finish it and I hated the ending. I was like, man, this was like a waste of time. the first Ninja Turtles game for the NES.
Aww.
Most difficult game. If you're watching, that water level, insane.
Water levels are always insane.
Hated that level. But the ending was garbage. It was just them with Master Splinter, and they're like, let's eat pizza. And it's game over, and that's it. I was like, really? All that for this? Nah.
Wow.
Now, the other two games I want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
One is a funny story, because the one was my stepdad gave me money to buy a game.
Nice.
Any game I want.
Very kind.
So I went to the store, and my dad picked me up, like, oh, let's go. Like, hey, I got money. I want to buy. And I was young. He's like, okay. So we go to the store, and he sees me like with a stack of like dollar bills.
Ready to spend.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm a huge Back to the Future fan. Huge. Yeah. Love the movie. I want that game, the Back to the Future, for the Nintendo system. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, get it. I forgot how much I paid. I don't know if it was like $80, because back then it was expensive.
Yeah, they were more back then. Yeah.
Way more. So I go to my cousin's house to play it. And my dad remembers the stack that I gave him to the store for game, right? And he sees me playing. He's like, oh, do you like it? Oh, I love it. I hated the game.
Aw.
Hated the game.
You were pretending?
I had to pretend.
Oh, then no. Is he going to find out right now?
I'm already. That was years ago. So that was so disappointing. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to say anything, because
License games are very hit or miss. Like, shout out to Aladdin is another
I love Aladdin.
Positive moment, but there's some stinkers in there.
Now, the third.
Oh my God, I forgot Toe Jam and Earl and Bubsy.
You know, I was never a fan of the game.
I'm so sorry.
But anyways, so.
Two highlights for me.
So the last one was, I didn't buy this game. I went to Blockbuster to rent the game.
Smarter choice.
I'm saving more money, but the walk was a long walk for me. So I go to Blockbuster and look. I was always okay. One of the things I used to do back then, before I rent the game, some games they'll show the reviews, like the graphics, like.
Preview on the screen behind the counter.
They show like the pro, that too, but also they had like the graphics of Game Pro, like 5 out of 5 and all stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I always look at that.
For me, we also had like an OXM magazine and whatever, like sitting there on the counter, so you could like page through
Try the demo disc.
Yeah.
So I see this cover, I'm like, yo, this game, this the graphics? I gotta get this. It was Superman 64.
Oh no.
Yo, I was like, yo, the graphics in the box. Yo, you know what? This could be a game changer. Mario 64 was a game changer.
You know what? You're not the only one who got You're not the only one.
I go home.
So many people got by that game.
I got home and I put that game into the system. Man.
Oops.
I felt I wasted my time, my energy, because it was a long walk. And my money renting that. I was so disappointed. I've never felt. And you know, I was like forcing myself, like, you know what? Let me keep on trying.
Okay. Can we
give me try to
can
see?
Can we subgenre, like not subgenre, can we like bullet point that? Because there are so many games now and they're so easy to access compared to back then.
Yeah.
Right. But before, when you had to walk to the store, or beg your cousin to let you borrow it, or beg your parents to let you get something for a holiday or a birthday. When you got a game and it sucked, you stuck it out.
Oh, you stuck with it.
You didn't say, this is stupid. Let me go back to Game Pass or go back to the PlayStation Store.
There was no updates, patches, nothing.
There were no patches.
Nothing.
Like you just sat there and you stuck with it and you got through it and you just suffered. Because you invested a lot in getting that game and acquiring access to that game.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for little Danny.
That hurt. But let me a quick story, and so we could continue with the conversation. But quick story. Back in the early 90s, there was this competition that Blockbuster had, a nationwide competition.
Mm.
You could either play Super Nintendo games. Was it Super Nintendo games? I know it was Sega Genesis for sure. You know what? It was Sega Genesis. So you had a choice. You could play Sonic, NBA Jam. I think they had fighting games. I can't remember. But, yo, I told my dad, Pa, please take me to the store, to Blockbuster. I need to compete. He's like, really?
You're like, I believe I can win.
I've been practicing for for days. It tells you what level.
How old were you?
I was like, I was a teenager. So I was maybe 9th or 10th grade. I think I was. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I was living in West Palm Beach at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
And you knew you had the stuff.
I was confident. I was like, I'm confident. I'm going to break this record.
Amazing.
Go to Blockbuster. I was like, yo, man. Yo, I want to play Sonic.
You're about to show these suckers.
It was, was it Sonic 3 or Sonic Knuckles? One of the two.
Ooh.
I can't remember. Man. I go in. Prepared. All right. Because I'm thinking, remember that movie, The Wizard? The kid that...
Yes.
So I was like that, like focused. Like, I'm like, yo, this is going to be me.
You're visualizing it.
I'm going to go to the finals. Mm-hmm. I got this. Man, I did terrible. I did terrible. It was the worst time. And I'm like, can I do this again? Nah, you only could do it once. I'm like, and I left.
You know what? That's an important moment for every young person, is to like believe in yourself and like know that you can do something and fail and realize, oh, it takes more than just me thinking I can do it.
I know.
You got to practice. You got to work hard. But you got to test and learn.
At that time, I wasn't really like you. You said a few minutes ago, you were confident playing Halo 2.
Confident and practiced.
And practice, yeah. But I practiced. I think, you know what it was? Mm-hmm. I think I got nervous. There was so many people watching me.
Oh, it psyched you out.
There was people waiting in line. Like,
yeah,
play.
Yeah, of course.
So you see the employees, black person looking and stuff. Like, oh, that's, you know,
the heat.
Some of them knows about games. Some, this is like all new.
Sure.
And I'm there like, I got this. And damn, so I was like
performance anxiety.
Missing jumps, getting hit. Oh my God. Missing coins. It was ridiculous.
So I did dance competitions growing up. So being on the spot. I've gotten used to it. I had gotten used to it by then.
So what was it that the first time was very difficult, probably? The first time.
First time what?
With like people seeing you, like watching us.
Watching me play?
Not watching you play, but like competitions. Like
compete
dancing.
On stage?
Yeah.
Oh, I was a child.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
Yo, I grew up doing it.
I didn't have that confidence. Yeah. Like, I didn't have that. Like
it,
now,
it really did help my confidence. It also taught me a lot of life lessons. Like sometimes you are the best and you still lose because things aren't fair. Surprise, surprise. Life is not always fair.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, a lot of good life learnings in the dance world.
You know, what was, and this will be the last question, like what?
Sure, yeah. Is we can talk about this like forever. Oh,
we're going to do a lot more episodes of video because this is a great conversation. But was there a memory from all the concerts that you have that still to this day you're like, I gotta talk about this to my daughter, to people, like this is like a very important moment? Like, was it finishing a boss, a level, getting the console, or it could be any gaming memory?
So many. It's
but
so
there has
hard.
To there has to be one you're like, yo, I gotta tell you this.
Okay, I can tell you one where, because gaming is very connective and community focused for me now.
Yeah.
Like, I love building our world around the people that we meet and interact with through our jobs, right? And in the gaming industry. But the first time I ever felt true connection through a video game, like as in somebody has gone through a life experience that I have and we both ended up here, was in Borderlands 2. If you're not aware, that game's dialogue is written by Anthony Birch. Fantastic artist. And I call him an artist. He's a fantastic writer, but also artist. And that game had a DLC that was called, oh Lord, what was it? Captain something in her pirate's booty, something like that.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Do you remember
that? Yeah.
I can't remember the name entirely. And there's other really amazing DLCs for Borderlands 2, like Tiny Tina's, Break Off and all that stuff.
That.
But it was the Captain Scarlet's pirate's booty. Captain Scarlet. And there was a gun. And if you know about Borderlands, you know it's a looter shooter. So all of the guns that you find have different aspects and attributes, but if it's a special gun, it has subtext, like a special character moment, like almost like a character card in Magic. Like it, you can see like, oh, it has some flavor text, right? So the flavor text on this particular gun said, "What a fabulous window treatment." And it was a line that was taken from a movie with Kevin Kline and Joan Cusack called In and Out, where this this guy is getting married, and he starts to realize that he's actually married to a woman, and he starts to realize that he's actually gay and does not want to be married to her. And it's a small town, so this is like very like big deal, big news. It causes lots of unrest in the small community, but everybody rallies around them, and it's wonderful at the end of the day. It's a very sweet movie. Shout out to Kevin Kline. But basically, there is a tape that this guy is listening to in order to try to un-gay himself, which is ridiculous, but you know, it's played for comedy. And so it's like this tape, it's like manly man mantras or something. And one of the lines that this manly man is speaking to him is saying like, okay, you're gonna go into this bar and you're gonna be a man. And I'm paraphrasing and getting this part of it wrong. But he says like, so you're gonna, you know, like sag your shoulders down and like grab your crotch and say like, yeah, hey guys. And the Kevin Kline character goes like, okay, I'm gonna try it. And he repeats it, hey guys. And he goes, okay, say this, hot damn. And he's like, hot damn. And he's like, okay, say this, what a fabulous window treatment. And Kevin Kline goes, oh, what a fabulous window treatment. He's like, stop that was a trick.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it's this like, it's maybe a little problematic, but it's so funny because he's going back and forth and like tricking him into saying something that is, you know, usually considered effeminate, but it felt so natural to him. But in that line stuck out to me in the movie. And this line ended up in the flavor text of a gun in Captain Scarlet's Pirates Booty, which is DLC for Borderlands 2. How specific
that's wild
of a connection is it that I knew exactly what I was reading mm-hmm. when playing that DLC? And Anthony Birch and I are the two people on planet Earth who put those two things together. And I'm sure there's more of us out here.
Probably, yeah.
But it's just, and that was a very long way to explain. Moments like that are just, you can't get that anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like, it transcends media, it transcends movie, it transcends games, it transcends writing. It's just pure human experience and coming together and finding each other. And finding each other is like the most exciting part of video games for me.
Yeah.
So that is a long ass way to answer your question.
There was a lot for me, especially during the Sega Dreamcast era, because that was like the first time where we got to play online.
Yeah.
Using a 56K modem. Like, I even got my own phone line just for my Sega Dreamcast.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
investment.
So I remember there was a time where, okay, I got Phantasy Star Online, super hooked in that game. I didn't have an internet provider. So at that time, there was this free internet called Net Zero. And people figure out a hack where you do it through the Sega Dreamcast. You got to go to like the settings and put like some IP address or something that's related to Net Zero. And I'm like, this is all I need. I have my own phone line. I have a free internet provider. I'm good.
You're set for life.
Set for life. Go online, and I remember, and then, man, I don't even know how I put this off back then, but I only had 45 minutes to do as much as I can. If it disconnects, I have to call in again, reconnect, and then end up in that mission, that ship and everything. So, like, my friends were playing, we're fighting a boss. I get disconnected. I'm like, or I will tell him, yo, I only got like 5 minutes. Let's hurry up. Let's finish this boss.
Mm-hmm.
I got disconnected. I'm like, oh my God, I got to hurry up. And I go in, they're still fighting, you know, stuff like that was really cool. Or playing a game like Choo Choo Rocket. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
That was the first online game for the Sega Dreamcast. Look it up. Whenever you get the chance. But I remember at that time we had servers where we had private rooms, USA versus Japan, because only us, both countries playing. Sometimes you get people from other countries, but...
Is it like 1 versus 100 kind of deal, or...?
Choo Choo Rocket is only 4 players, so it's like, what randomly play... Like, I'll go to the Japanese servers, like, yo, USA, let's go. Like, you know...
Talking shit.
Yeah, well, they'll come and talk same thing, too. So that was pretty cool. And also, playing NFL 2K1 for the first time.
Aww.
That was mind-blowing. I was like...
Shout out to sports games. They don't get enough love. Yeah.
But the way how I played it for the first time, Sega invited me to a Sega Net.
So this was as a creator, not as a consumer.
No, I was a consumer, but they didn't know that I was a creator. They had no idea. Okay. So I go to this event. Sega sponsored the VMAs, hosted by Chris Rock. So it was in New York City. The VMAs was also in New York City, but it was nearby the location. So I'm there. They had a bunch of Sega Dreamcasts everywhere. Mm-hmm. They had video previews of future games, Shenmue and all this. I'm like, oh my God. And the game that you'll play online was the NFL 2K1. So I'm playing with people from another state. Mm. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Like, this is
the future.
this is the future.
Yeah.
Even communicating, no voice, just keyboard. So I had to like put my controller down, type, press enter, pick up my controller. That's how I used to be back then. But those moments, I'll never, never forget. And that also helped me to come up with an idea like, mm-hmm. I could do an internet radio. I could do, like, it inspired me creatively to come up with new ideas because of the stuff that I had at home with the Sega Dreamcast. And that was like something I'll never, ever forget. Like, now it's everybody's online, but man, those moments back then was like,
being present for the birth of the internet is an interesting thing for sure.
I mean, the days where AOL, you had to pay hourly.
Oh yeah, dial up. A certain generation of people, including the two of us, remembers the
And if you have email, you have mail.
Mm-hmm. Remember, hoarding the discs they would send you in the mail so you could get some free hours?
Yo, let me tell you, when those discs arrive, 500 what? Yo, I'm all in. Let's go. I'll go to the chats.
I'm such an OG gamer. I played the MS-DOS pinball on the floppy disk.
Like, oh my God. That's old school.
Like, real talk.
I played Carmen Sandiego on the DOS.
Mavis Beacon teaches typing, Math Blaster. Like it goes. My gaming days go way back too. But
same.
This is a fun conversation.
We got to do more of these, man.
Yeah.
We have so many stories.
Just about games too. Like movies and music.
Movies,
we could talk music forever.
Yeah. And I also want to definitely want to talk about movies because, oh man, my childhood, like going to the movie theater the first time. Like,
oh yeah.
Definitely got to talk about that. That's going to be funny. Anything else? I think this is a great
conversation. I mean, there's too much else, but we got to end it at some point.
We got to definitely end it. This, I think, the longest episode so far.
Probably.
We're gamers, of course.
Of course.
No, it was a great conversation, Rita.
Yeah.
Great. And everyone, thank you for watching and listening. Hoping you're still watching and listening now, right?
So. Yeah, shout out some of your favorites from back in the day, from your first few consoles, because obviously modern times in the last 10 years, there's many, many, many more games than there were back then.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What were some of your favorites as a child?
Your favorites, first online experience. Like, I'm curious to hear, like, all the stuff that we talked about.
Yeah.
What was your experience? That would be awesome. Like, favorite gun game, like that type of thing. You know? Yeah, go for it. And we're going to wrap it up, and we'll be back next time, right? Next week.
Next week. We'll see you then.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.